Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rodgers out to his right downfield. He's got Adams. Adams, welcome to week 14. Touchdown, Green Bay.
How disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er?
Not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me.
Yes, sir. Welcome back into Clint Sterner. I'm gonna let you get off because I'm about to get out the way because Clint came in. The smile on his face, he is ready to roll about Aaron Rodgers. If you're wondering who is this fat sounding gentleman, I am Ron the Show Hughley in for the next 2 days. Go ahead, Clint. I'm gonna get out the way.
Look here.
Oh God.
San Francisco in 2005. In the 2005 NFL draft, they passed on my man Aaron Rodgers.
This was like when P.J. Fleck came up to the stage last night. Just
they
ready.
Passed on my man Aaron Rodgers, and you heard what the reporter asked him. You know, are you disappointed? He said, "Not as disappointed as they'll be.
Disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me."
There you go. Tell him, A-Rod. Guess what? Guess who plays this weekend? Guess who's in the NFC Championship? Come on. Packers and the Niners, baby.
Okay.
In Cali, right? In Cali. Where's Aaron Rodgers from? Cali. Mm-hmm. He told them they were going to regret it.
Mm.
This is his chance. We're talking about a match made in heaven, a matchup made in heaven for me. We spend way too much time talking about other quarterbacks in this league. And when it comes to arm talent, that man right there is the best arm in the league. Look, I know Pat Mahomes.
Now, hold on.
I know Pat Mahomes can sling that thing around the park, but the best arm in the game.
That's just not true.
The best arm in the game is Aaron Rodgers, bro.
Clint.
Who you putting in there with it?
Pat!
You crazy.
It's special.
It's special, no doubt.
Okay, so you got Aaron. You think right now.
I've said this from the jump.
Really?
I've said this from the jump. Aaron Rodgers is the best arm talent in this game. And I've said it from the jump. Nobody's even been close until Pat Mahomes got in the game and started doing his thing. And Pat Mahomes, now look, Pat Mahomes is slapping him on the ass like Odell Beckham did that police officer in the locker room now. But I'm telling you, did you see that throw Aaron Rodgers made on third and I don't know what it was, but to seal the deal?
Coach, I've seen it.
Coach, that is super, super special. I just can't give the crown to anybody but Aaron Rodgers right now, my man.
Okay. Not best, no, man. Pat is, man. Aaron has, you know, he's 36.
I don't care.
He's got the second one in the game, man. Pat makes throws that are just ridiculous. Like throws that Aaron used to make. Aaron has just slowed down.
They're different though. Here's the difference. Here's the difference, show is Aaron goes about it in a way of he sets his feet so quickly and has such a quick release that it wows you. Pat Mahomes don't even try to set his feet.
No, it don't matter. He don't even care.
And so it's if you're talking about a guy that can do different things from different arm slots, it's hard to go against anybody other than Pat Mahomes because he's so willing to do it. You know what I mean? When you're talking about like just freestyling and making throws, it'd be hard for me to not go with Pat Mahomes. But when I'm talking about set my feet, rip the ball, throw it in tight windows and doing it in big moments and having extreme confidence to win game. I mean it's just nasty. It's just sick. Best arm in the game. When you talk about arm talent, arm strength, the ability to set the feet, the ability to short stride, compact action, phone booth action, Aaron Rodgers is the man.
Yeah,
bro.
Aaron can combine technique and his arm strength. Yeah,
Aaron can do more. Here's the deal. Here's the way to put it. Aaron can do more because his habit is to set his feet and throw it, where you'll see Mahomes make a highlight throw, but he'll also miss because he doesn't set his feet and he'll
true.
Do, you know
now
what I mean?
Now that is true. Right. I've watched Patrick Mahomes play every game yeah. that he's played, and what he will do, because he's so confident in his arm, he won't set his feet and he will be off
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
But he can
it's
put
freak.
It in. He invented the Jordan fadeaway pass. He
yeah.
will just back up and back up and back up, and then still put it on people
yeah.
even further behind.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're splitting hairs when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes when it's talking about arm talent. One of them is a little sloppy with it and is all over the joint and is damn good at it, and one of them is buttoned up and sets them feet as it's just nasty, man. And right now, if I'm drafting, obviously the age is different, but if I got them two guys and I need 1 year, And I can surround him with talent, I'm Aaron Rodgers all day, baby.
All right, I can't do that. But I can't do that, man. I've seen too much Pat Mahomes,
but I'm taking A-Rod.
But I do want to get to your point, because you think he's going to come out. It sounds like you think Aaron's going to come out like a man possessed. Like he's about to play and just give it, like he has been keeping his thoughts for the Niners.
Yeah.
He has been, well, I've been waiting on their ass. I don't care. You gave me Danica Patrick. I don't care. All that stuff. The stuff that's still been on my mind, and she's something else, by the way. But the stuff that's still been on my mind is them damn Niners to pay him back.
Yeah,
man,
right. I think this is deep. I think it cuts deep. I think it's hometown. It's. I mean, my man's had to live in Green Bay for his entire career instead of Cali, where he's from and where the weather is so beautiful. So I do. I think it cuts deep, man. I think the Green Bay Packers end up winning this football game, and here's why. Because both of these defensive lines, you talk about the two defense rush ends or outside linebackers, whatever you want to call them, suckers are nasty, coach. And then you flip around, and that defensive front for the 49ers, their ability to get at that D line for the 49ers, I don't know how in the hell you stand at the salary cap and put that defensive line together in itself, much less all the other pieces. But I believe this. I believe Aaron Rodgers deals with the San Francisco pressure better than Jimmy Garoppolo deals with them two monsters that Green Bay can unleash on a quarterback. That's where I think it is. I think it's going to – golly, I don't know.
I want you to be right,
I'm amped
Clint.
Up about this game.
I
now.
Want you to be right, Clint, so help me. Because I do. I want to see Mahomes.
I got a good feeling.
I want to see Mahomes and Rodgers.
How nasty
I want to see.
Would
oh, come
be?
On now. I mean, don't say that word. That nasty is a trigger word. They call me Mr. Nasty. But no, I want to see that bad.
I can't first, say gonna, nasty around you, and I can't say moist nah, around my girl.
You can
man.
Say
what's
it.
Going,
I mean, you can
y'all?
Say nasty around me. You just might get that nasty.
Just don't go Odell Beckham Jr. on me.
You can't just move past that and not explain the
I'm
Mr. Nasty.
I'm just saying nasty's in my nature, B-Mac. It's just it. Me and my friends, my best friends, we got a group we call ourselves NBN. Nasty by nature. That's just what we call
nasty
it.
Nasty by nature.
That's it, man. That's it. It's just in our nature. We can't help it.
I mean, is that like send the wifey nasty text messages, or is that like I'm just
nah,
a nasty,
it ain't,
funky,
nah, well, it ain't,
just
it ain't.
Nasty, funky kind of dude?
Nah, man, it ain't. I don't wear no deodorant nasty.
I forgot
it ain't
about
no,
deodorant
I
a couple days ago,
yeah,
by the way.
Man, that's nasty. No, it's a lick your lips when you see it.
You
type
nasty.
Of that. Oh, yes. I won't deny it. I won't deny it. My thing is, I hope that you're right, though.
Yeah.
I really do, because I want to see that. And by the way, I will step out right now. Anybody out there who are not from Nashville or Tennessee and are rooting for the Titans to be into the Super Bowl, I just really just don't respect you as a fan. Nobody wants to see – I can't even say his name. Nobody wants to see I can't even say the man's name. I can't to even have the thought that he could be in somebody's Super Bowl. I love Derrick Henry, but nobody wants to see that man, Ryan. I can't even. Nobody wants to see him in the Super Bowl. Nobody. So I don't respect anybody. But I'm telling you, I know he's mad, and he can think about the draft and how dare they pick Alex Smith ahead of me. But, man, when D Ford is lined up and Nick Bosa is lined up and Buckner is lined up and Armstead is lined up and the other guys they bring off the bench and Richard Sherman is out there, I don't know if all the stuff he's pent up will matter worth a damn when those boys come after him. You saw him the last time on Sunday night.
Yeah, it was nasty.
What he throw for 111 yards?
It was nasty.
He had a Ryan Tannehill performance.
It was nasty.
I want you to be right. But them boys are on a mission.
Look, back in the game when they did get him, right?
And then they got him. They more than got him.
This is part of the reason why I'm confident about this pick and my feelings is that Aaron Rodgers very calmly after that game, and there was, I think there was a couple of times during the season where Aaron Rodgers could have lost his not confidence, but he could have lost his cool. He could have lost his cool a couple of times early midseason. They went through some injuries and had some problems, and he got hit. He got hit a lot.
Yes.
But, man, but he didn't. He stayed steady. He said, we'll be all right. We'll get this thing together. And sure enough, they rattle off 13 wins. They 13-3 this year? 13-3 this year with a new head coach that the talk of the town before the season popped was, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to be able to get along with this guy. These guys aren't going to be able to get along. This is never going to work. Yeah, watch this. To the tune of 13 dubs. I mean, it's crazy. I just, for whatever reason, I'm on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon
right
now,
bro. I want you to be right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can tolerate the Niners. I can't do nothing with the Titans. Could you imagine if we come in here?
Oh, I'll tell you. You know, the only good I could draw from that, for me, is that old school pro style football is alive. That's the only spin.
You want to watch them sling it. You want to see the two best arms in the game make throws where you're sitting there saying, "Damn." Okay,
oh,
Aaron,
yeah, no, hey,
it's
yeah.
your turn.
Look, that's what I want to see, show. There ain't no doubt about it. But I'm saying if ifs were fists, baby, we'd all be busted up. The deal is if it were to happen and we had to do a show the next day, we'd do one segment on the Super Bowl and it'd be about, man, pro-style football is back. Old school, smash mouth, downhill
Woo!
Football is back. How about them Astros?
Yay.
How about them Rockets?
Come on, man. Oh. Luckily, y'all play. I'm telling you right now, I don't think I got six Titans. I don't think I can name six Titans.
Whew. Well, do they all have to be healthy?
I don't think I got six Titans in me. I've got two, and then I'm going the late Steve McNair. I ain't got six Titans in me. I don't. I'm sorry, man. I know disrespect. I know some of y'all love Ryan Tannehill. I just can't.
You're in Aggie
sorry,
country,
man.
And you're in, it's the old Oilers here,
sorry,
man. That's okay.
Man.
Hey, look, here.
Man. I can't do it.
Look here. Ryan Tannehill's a good dude, but I don't want to see it in the damn Super Bowl.
I really don't.
I mean, if he gets there, hey, look, if he's a Texas boy, if he gets there, hell, I salute the hell out of him. I hope he wins the whole thing. But we're talking matchups. You're talking matchups. There ain't nothing sexier than Aaron Rodgers versus Pat Mahomes. And these two offenses going head to head. I mean, there ain't nothing better.
Yes, yes. Give me Travis Kelce for Super Bowl week.
Come on.
Man, he's going to have a good time. Travis going to have a good time.
He don't mind getting down a little bit, huh?
Yeah, as long as she's there. He's got a winner.
I know where you're going.
Oh, my goodness. I almost fainted when I was standing next to her. What time? All right, let me get up out of here, honey. I didn't mean that. If you're listening. All right.
Show done got in trouble.
She going to text me right now.
Hey, show's going to be on the first thing.
You just out here showing your ass in Houston.
Hey, Clint, I had to leave early, man. I had to go save his marriage, bro.
All right, coming up next. I think really, I'm serious, Clint, and I really would love to hear your opinion on this. I think it's time that we stop disrespecting the greatness of Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you what I mean more. Yeah, welcome back in. Clint Sterner here alongside with him. I am Ron the Show Hughley filling in today and tomorrow. I'm having a lot of fun with you. Having a lot of fun right here in Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610. All right. I said it, man. I think we got to stop disrespecting the greatness of Deshaun Watson. Look, man. I know Sunday feels still fresh after that disaster, but now we take a deep breath. We're almost here to Friday, and I know a lot of people have feelings about Bill O'Brien, but let's just be honest. Everyone that I've heard on this station, people who are very tied in, people who cover and watch it, everyone has said Bill O'Brien's going to be back. We all know that. Y'all ain't going to fire himself. Why would you? I know I wouldn't.
Right.
I'm not, you know, he's not firing himself. So, you know he's going to be here. I don't think Texans fans are just saying, well, hell, let's just give up. Maybe some of you are, but get out of that. Get out of that. Then you have to start coming with solutions, Clint. And to me, how can the Texans take the next step? Right now, I see them behind the Chiefs and behind the Ravens. How can they take the next step? And to me, it is clear. Stop looking at Bill O'Brien. You know what he's going to do, right?
Yeah.
You said it earlier. It's no a doubt. Sample size, Jack. You know what he's going to do. The person that's great, that has the chance to be great, is four. Deshaun Watson's the one that can be great. This is year four. You got to do even more, in my opinion. That's the place you got to look to say, all right, that's where we can get better. That's where we can probably try to take the next step to get in the range of the Ravens and the Chiefs. Not Bill O'Brien. Can Deshaun take that step?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question is not the question. That's the fact. If they don't make a move, it comes down to I wouldn't expect the Tiger to change his stripes when it's all said and done. Bill O'Brien's tried. It's been a struggle. Even if there is some change, if it continues to happen at the pace that it's happened to this point, it's still not going to be what they're capable of being, right? And so Deshaun Watson is going to have to overcome he's going to have to do more to overcome opposing teams' defense. You are 100% correct. And I think – you know, I hesitate to say that they can win with that approach or with us having this conversation of, man, can Deshaun – yeah, he can do more. But you can't take a guy – I mentioned earlier that you play to a guy's strengths and you develop his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Right? Well, essentially what we're saying, what you're saying now is that – he got to find a way to win with his weaknesses, and I shouldn't say weaknesses. His not as strong attributes, right? His instincts are to be outside the pocket, moving, including your feet in the way that you play the quarterback position. He's got to find a way to not only improve quote unquote weaknesses, but he's got to find a way to overcome the opponent's defense week in, week out, because he's not going to get any help from the play caller, from the schemer. He's not going to. When national personalities are out there saying, it blows my mind how the Texans don't have answers for pressures. Like John Harris said earlier, Clint, when did you learn how to, that you got to keep contain of a quarterback or keep contain in a run play? When I first started playing Little League football, right?
Yeah.
When did you first start understanding that protection is key? And the only way you're going to win from the pocket is if you can protect the quarterback. Or if you don't have the protection, you've got to have answers in the pass game. Those are things that if you're asking me, does he have to do more in those situations to win if this staff stays the same on the offensive side of the football, the answer is yes. He's got to put that Superman cape on more. And win more in that fashion.
I just simply say this, Clint, and this is my time following him and following sports. Like, generally, the person who is great is the one that you look at when you say, okay, we didn't reach the area. And I'm not going to say it's not. Like, those of you who are coming in, and I see it's coming in hot on the text line. I see it's coming in. Like, no, Bill O'Brien, no, I'm not going to say he doesn't play a part. And I'm not saying, and I'm going to sit here and say that the Texans couldn't improve in that area or improve as you're so passionate about somebody else calling the plays or running a different offense. I'm not saying that. But it is kind of odd that if we look at Bill and we look at Deshaun and we say, okay, which one of those are great at what they do? Deshaun.
No doubt.
He's the one that's great. No one would say Bill O'Brien. And he's done an admirable job here. He's turned this thing around, created a great culture, but no one would say he's Andy Reid. No one would say that he's Sean Payton.
No, they say the exact opposite.
Right? He's where he is. And if Deshaun is the one that's great, and you know Bill's not going anywhere, that's where, and it's very odd to me that Bill is the one that's not great, that gets all of the blame, and the person that's great just kind of gets to slide behind it. And that's kind of unusual to me because I watched every play of that. I mean, Deshaun missed some throws.
Yeah.
He missed some plays.
Yeah.
That 51-7 run they caught wasn't just because Bill was struggling. Four was too.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal on that. I'll give you a little bit of pushback on it and from this instance, okay, is you watch the film. He missed throws throughout the season.
Yeah.
Right?
And everybody does.
Everybody does. Yeah. But there's throws that you can go back in the Baltimore game. And you can go, man, if he'd have worked this side of the field instead of that side of the field, he had a guy open. Or if he'd have worked Hopkins here instead of Fuller here, he had a guy open. Right? There are plays. But again, I go back to my point of you're asking him to win with his weaknesses consistently. Right? Every quarterback in this league has to process in the pocket, set your feet, throw accurately down the field, right? Some guys should do it 80% of the time. Some guys should be asked to do that 40% of the time. Deshaun is one of those guys that has the luxury of, at least at this point in his career, to be asked to do it fewer times, right? But your point is it's not going to change. He's going to have to win more than he should from the pocket doing, quote-unquote, Tom Brady types of things. Direct in traffic. If he can't protect himself, he's going to have an answer and get the football out quickly. I just tell you, if that's the move moving forward, buckle up. It's going to be a long.
It's
ride.
Not ideal, Clint. I'm not saying that. It's not ideal. What is ideal is what's happening in New Orleans when you got Sean Payton matched with Drew Brees. Yes. What's ideal is what's happening in Kansas City when you got Pat Mahomes matched with Andy Reid. What's ideal is what's happening in Baltimore. You have Greg Roman matched up with the perfect type of player for him and Lamar Jackson. That is ideal. I'm just saying, here in Houston, is the thought going to be we're just going to sit here on our hands and not – it's just never going to get better. It's never going to get better.
All you're doing is pleading my case for the OC change, right? Because
mentioned. I never said it shouldn't be a change.
I'm just going to tell you I'm going to use that audio right there to support my opinion. But think about it, bro. Who'd you just say? I said
Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
Purdue Boilermaker, spinning it all over the park before spinning it over the park was cool, baby.
Joe Tiller.
Right? What's he doing now? Same system. Same type of system. What did Pat Mahomes do in college? Air raid.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Right? Cliff Kingsbury air raid. Throw that sunbuck 80 times a game, right? If you can. What's he doing now? Andy Reid, that little hybrid West Coast with some of the new age RPO stuff in that game, right? They're fits, bro. They're fits from the play caller to the quarterback to the product you see on the field, right? When you get to this one over here, when you get to Deshaun Watson, he was a power spread guy. He was what you just saw Clemson do. Clemson's got a prototypical quarterback, a pro-style quarterback. White dude, about 6'6", can make every throw on the field from the pocket. Do they settle for that? Hell no. They create advantages in other ways. They get him on the edge. Hell, that big long-legged thing looked like a giraffe running down the damn field against Oklahoma on a 50-some-odd yard touchdown. You kidding me? No, that's their answers. They've got answers. They're not stubborn. The one thing that's different here is the quarterback is not a perfect fit with the scheme that was here before him, with what the play caller's always done in his career. And so that's your point is that fit that glove ain't gonna fit overnight. It's gonna take a long time to let that thing stretch out.
I want to make it very known here. My favorite player in the NFL is Deshaun Watson. Straight
you
up,
said that,
right?
Yeah.
He's my favorite player in the NFL. I hope it's not coming across, Clint, like I'm blaming him for what has happened.
No,
just saying, I am challenging. I think that he is capable of being a LeBron type in his sport.
Yes.
And I've watched LeBron drag bad pieces and things that are issues on his team, dragging David Blatt to an NBA Finals. I don't really know a lot of what Tyronn Lue did, but dragging him as a coach. And I think Deshaun is that great, right, and has the ability to be that great. And if we look at year four, where you start to see quarterbacks kind of get into their own, unless you're, Patrick Mahomes, you start to get into their own and take another step. To me, the only place where it appears this thing can get better, if it is constructed the way it is if Deshaun Watson, the one that can be great, if he takes the step.
Yeah, no, look, he's got. I hear what you're saying, Ron. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I feel it. I get it. I'm with you, and I totally agree with your point that to expect him to develop, to expect him to develop to a level of where they can win 10 or 11 more games, then it's going to have to come from more than just Superman Deshaun Watson. I hear your point. I hear your point. I know he's got to develop. I know he's got to get better. But I'm my pushback to the point is that I just don't think it's enough.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it is, right? I'm just saying I'm a solutions person.
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting here and just
saying,
well, how are we going to make solutions? Well, I know Bill's not changing. And you got something great. Can that great take another
step? Can that greatness carry the ones around him?
Can he go from the fifth best quarterback to the second?
And if anybody can do it, it's Deshaun Watson. And
I believe it. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to disrespect that kid's greatness because that kid is something else.
There, no doubt. I couldn't agree with you more, man.
All right, coming up, Clint, I feel like this may be our first disagreement of the day. Clint believes, hey, I see no issues with this Rockets little 1-3 stretch. All right, Clint, I don't know how you have arrived there.
Come on.
13 points from Harden. We'll get into that next. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner, I am here with my guy, Clint, Ron, the show, Hughley, filling in for the next couple of days. Having a lot of fun with you and having a lot of fun with you, Clint B. Mac, until now.
What happened?
Come on, man.
Damn, we went to the restroom together. We come back, and what happened?
I mean, we could have kept that together ourselves.
Damn, you look over the stall? Restroom. You look over that little partition?
I don't do that.
Okay, just checking. I didn't know I'll make you mad in the break then.
I respect that. I don't do that. I'm not looking over. Come on, man. So you got zero worries. No worries at all about this stretch for the Rockets. Not a stitch.
No, man. When you look at this thing, I understand that last night wasn't pretty. And I understand that a couple of nights ago, I laid my big ass on the couch, put my toes up, and watched the Rockets. And I'm like, with these boys done came back, took a 1-point lead, and they're going to mess down their leg versus the damn Memphis Grizzlies. I walked away from that game with a different respect for Ja Morant, though. That sucker right
Come
there.
Come on now. Ooh, hey, he's got a chance.
You know who he, not to get off topic here, he reminds me of, Lou Williams with the clip?
Okay. Off the bench. Yeah.
His game, that lanky, he just can bend, like bends and just smooth and long. And it's just
10 times more athletic than Lou is.
Well, he's 20 years younger than
him. I mean, Lou wished he could ever be that athletic.
Yeah, boy, that's not. It was. I walked away with a newfound respect for him. But so when I look at this Rockets team, the reason I'm not concerned about they're 1-3 in the last four games. They're shooting 43.8% from the field in 2020, which is in the bottom. Golly, they're 25th in the NBA with that 43.8%. The reason I'm not worried, man, is there's a couple of them. One, I firmly believe that James Harden has turned the corner relative to, and I don't know if it's coaching, I don't know if it's his love for Westbrook or his hunger based off of last year and a couple of years before when they couldn't get beyond a certain point. But when I watch him play right now, he's still scoring at a stupid clip. But when I see him play, bro, I see a lot more movement than I did. I'm talking about there were games, and there was some earlier this year, but the whole pass the ball to somebody else when you're not doing your ISO ball and then literally grab the bottom of your shorts and lean and rest on your knees at half court, one step over half court. Like, I haven't seen that the last few times I've peeped the Rockets. I haven't seen the last few games I've watched, I have not seen a ton of that. He's always going to be that guy, but I hadn't seen a ton of that. So, one, that there's one reason why I'm not really concerned is I see a change in Harden. The way that he's adjusted since Denver, golly, it's probably a month and a half ago, hit him with that double team, real aggressive double team. The way he's adjusted his game to beat that double team is another reason. Like, that's impressive. The Rockets are working at getting the ball out of his hands, getting it in the scorer's hands, and them getting to the rack. Or getting it out of his hands, working to get it back in his hands in an open fashion. You know, you see what I'm going, Show? I mean, those are things to me that I've been watching this Rockets team for a long time. Those are things to me that I just don't know that I've seen them work so hard to improve on, and I've seen that this year.
See, I want to get a level of concern, right? I'm not concerned that, like, the Rockets aren't going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Or anything. I'm not concerned of that nature. My thing is, I'm surprised with the intensity level they play at as a team. I'm surprised. I thought when you add a guy like Russell Westbrook,
yeah,
that kind of stuff would improve, and he would just give you a level of juice. Like, give just your team on a night-in and night-out basis a level of juice. And then I thought you would get a level of juice added to James Harden. Maybe they're holding it back, and maybe this is something that will happen in the playoffs. But to me, that is a small measure of concern, that the lack of juice and energy that they play with when you got, would argue, the most energized player in the game.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that made sense.
No, it made sense. Yeah, I mean, the most electric, the most explosive.
A guy who's always going. Yeah. I thought that would go around to the rest of the team.
But here's just, I don't know if this is the case, but check this out. You've got Clint Capela, who's hurting, right? You got Eric Gordon, who just returned. You got Russell Westbrook, who you've got to load manage because of his style of play, not because of the miles on him. He's his style. You got to do it. And then you've got a serious chemistry issue between Harden and Westbrook, your two superstars. There's a lot going on with this basketball team that I think we all knew was going to go on when Westbrook came in. And I'm giving you an excuse. I agree with you. I would expect more energy from this team, particularly on the defensive end of the floor. But with all the things I just mentioned and listed, those are reasons why we may be seeing a little less work on the defensive end of the floor than we would like. Maybe, you know, we're seeing a little less movement, a little less energy based off of guys coming in and out of the lineup so much. A different lineup. There's not the chemistry's not where – look – where it has to be. When they brought Westbrook in here, they said, if this chemistry works, it's going to be a beautiful thing. If it don't, it's going to be tough sledding.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a team like the Clippers, and no matter who is in or out, you know, they'll have games where Paul George and Kawhi are out. But they always are playing hard. Like, they play hard, and they have that mindset, right? And I look at the Rockets at times, and it's like, man – you're having a team meeting after last night's game. So Mark D'Antoni is letting you know something ain't right.
Yeah.
Having a team meeting, and in the meeting, Russell Westbrook addresses the team. It said that he ran a lot of what happened in the team meeting, saying, we got to play hard, and the rest will take care of itself. Like, that is just a surprising thing when he comes to the team as, I think, a leader and a great player that didn't boost the rest of the group.
Well,
and you make a good point with the injuries.
I think
Eric
it will.
Gordon,
so I think it will, because you make the point you're making is this: the low energy. That's Harden, right? The team is going to be a mirror image of your leaders, and it's going to take time for Westbrook's leadership to take over this entire team to see the true effect from an energy standpoint. James Harden, it's contagious. When there's so much ISO ball being played, what do? Go stand in a corner. Lethargic. Just stand around, no energy. Let Harden do his thing. You pretty much become a spectator, right? It's what you're asked to do. I'm not saying guys are lazy. Hell, it's what you're asked to do, right? And so that is contagious, and it's hard to flip the switch from that style of ball to Westbrook's on the floor. Y'all better be all gas, no brakes. I just think it's going to take time for the team to realize that. I think it's going to take time for it to take, and you just hope that it takes come into the season when it's cutting time. Ultimately, I think it's part of that chemistry that we all knew was going to be a big hurdle for the Rockets when they got Westbrook.
Just to get out, this sometimes happens to me. I'm talking it out with you. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the text line. Maybe I got to back off a little bit with the concern. Like I said, it's not high level. I thought this is a next step. Because you develop habits, Clint.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it's an accident that the Clippers play, no matter who's out there. You know,
they play hard.
And that's a development of a habit that comes back in June. in May. And that is something that I thought the Rockets are going to have that. Because if there ain't one thing, you play with a guy like Russ, a guy who's going as hard as he is, who is one of your best players, you just do it. I'm sure. Like at Arkansas, when you played, man, people watched you.
And they
would go because that's our guy. That's our, I got to match that.
Yep.
And I thought that was going to happen. That habit would develop, that they would do that, and even Harden's off the floor in a big playoff game. That's all right. We are gritty, and we're going to get down and play hard. And right now, where they are, they're not showing that, and that habit is concerning because it's hard to turn on and look, the play hard
it's
habit.
It's a legit concern, bro. You don't have to back up off your concern. Hell, I've been watching and covering this team.
I just re-backed up on it. I'm good now.
Get back up on there. You stood back up on the chair and got on that thing.
Talked myself right back into it, bro.
It's a legit concern. I don't care what anybody says. You're over. No, you're not. This energy, chemistry, effort, defense, all of those things have been concerns for this basketball team. This ain't the first, it ain't been a week. It ain't been just 2020 that's been a problem.
Come on.
Right? I mean, that's something, that's in an area where they've needed to improve for a long time. And quite frankly, Show, that's an area where, as you mentioned, the best teams in this league, energy ain't a problem, man. Energy ain't a problem.
No.
They either got it all the time, or you're like LeBron and you know when to turn that thing on and when you can turn it off.
Yeah, and you trust him more that he's able to pull that off. That part is concerning to me. Clint Snerner, Ron the Show Hughley, I'm in the next 2 days, and I watched every second of that Chiefs Texans game. And there was one thing.
So did I, unfortunately.
I know you did. There was one thing that stood out to me, Clint.
Okay.
And now you tell me if I'm off on this. And Houston, you tell me if I'm off on this. We're just talking about Houston, the Rockets. And we've seen them run against the Warriors, and the Warriors just go off on some kind of crazy run, and there ain't nothing stopping. The biggest thing that was disappointing to me was, And I know a man like yourself, you know a little bit about this. Where was what I like to call the hog from the Texans team?
Yeah.
I didn't see people out there with no hog.
Yeah.
To me, when you get blitzed 51-7, you started off the game 24-0 and then spun around and got blitzed 51-7. At some point, at 21-7 or 28-7 or 35, somebody throw a helmet. Somebody go off. We never saw on the camera, like, the defense together, the offense together.
Yeah.
Somebody with some hog and say, damn it, this is stopping.
Yeah.
This is Show. And that was concerning to me
Show.
In terms of mindset.
They allowed Kansas City to do something that had never been done in the NFL history in the playoffs, bro. And look, I questioned, you know, the Texans, man. There were several collapses throughout the season. Denver Broncos 38-3 or 38-7, whatever it was.
I still don't know what that was about.
It was 38-3, I believe, with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter versus a 4-win Broncos, Chief.
Drew Lock, second game. Come on, man.
Yeah. It ain't like the first time that this kind of thing has happened or something similar, right? And from the jump, I played the game. There were times when you were the better team and you went out there, you planned stunk, and you got your ass whooped. I mean, that just is what it is. It happens to everybody, right? But exactly what you're saying is a point that I made. Maybe it was after the Denver game. Can't remember. But my point was I questioned the leadership. And not leadership from a standpoint of guys doing right, but that leader on a football team. J.J. Watt was hurt at the time. I think he would typically be the guy that we would look for to do something along those lines when they're getting ran through. He was hurt at the time. And the fact that nobody stands up and rips ass. I've seen Kansas City multiple times this year where Pat Mahomes is getting in them on the sideline.
Tyrann Mathieu, and you all had him here last year. No way. There's no way. I mean, he's gonna lose it. Frank Clark is a psycho.
Yeah.
He's gonna lose it. You're gonna see stuff, screaming matches over there where somebody's going off. Could you imagine Ray Lewis and Ed Reed?
No.
This happening. them walking over there and just sitting down with it.
No.
I mean, it was just every time I saw Romeo, he looked like a guy opening up the pantry trying to find the hot sauce.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't just look at like confused or, and just nobody did any. Like it was.
I think it's a product of Bill O'Brien spends a lot of time in post game press conferences and when he's with the media, essentially defending his guys like to a fault. Whereas as an old football head, I sit there and I go, Coach, give me something. I don't even need to agree with you, but just give me something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to go away from the RPO game for an entire half or even an entire game, when it's what Deshaun Watson does really well, and you've done it and had success with it, like, I'm cool with it. I just need you to tell me why. Like, give me a reason that made you make those types of decisions. And after the game, it's so far from – it's such an effort to not place blame that I think that what you're talking about is probably a product of that.
You played the game. Is that a mindset thing, man? Is that a mindset thing that's not just developed on the game on Sunday, right? That just doesn't come on Sunday. To me, that's a thing that started a long time ago in training camp and everything. You played with Troy Aikman. I can remember one time there was a game. This is even later in his career. Hell, you might have been with him. Where he just went off on the offensive coordinator, on the offensive line.
On Jack
line.
Riley.
What the hell is going on?
He started banging on the head coach.
hell, we're going to get our ass kicked, but come on now. Somebody got to hold.
Yeah.
Trip him.
Coach.
Kick. Lonnie, get 13 straight pass interference penalties on Travis. Something. Like, I mean, somebody's earpiece fly off. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. That starts early, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing is, this is what scares me, okay? Because this is one place, what you're talking about, Deshaun Watson earlier, this is one place where he can take the next step, is he can be the dude, because I know he's got the intangible.
He's a great leader.
He's got the power to do it. I just don't know if it's his – if it's his MO, but I think he's got to be the guy that steps up and during adversity is the rock and is that leader that everybody they look to him. They already look to him every time something goes wrong or they're down in the game, go win the game literally on the field. But I'm talking about going, hey man, get y'all stuff together on the defensive side of the football. Get me the rock two more times and we're gonna go down there and win this thing. You know, just righting the ship.
Because it wasn't just the defense.
Right. But I think the reason we don't see it is because I think there's such a conscious effort by Bill O'Brien all the way down. And maybe that's part of building a great culture. I salute the dude for building the culture. But there's such an effort to not point fingers and not blame that he'll avoid talking about the most obvious problems in a press conference in an effort to not point fingers. He'll go out of his way to go, well, we're not going to go to the locker room and point fingers. We're not going to question each other. We're not going to, after you just got skull drugged by somebody. You know, so I wonder if what you're talking about is a product of from the top down. Essentially, we ain't pointing no fingers. We're not getting in each other's face. We're not. I just wonder if that's the product of it.
Who is the guy on the team that you would even think would be the one to come close to it? Right? Who is that?
I would think JJ.
That's what I was thinking.
JJ.
I was surprised, you know.
I'll tell you who, if I were, going to training camp and watching, I think Justin Reed's got a chance to be that guy.
I see.
Young dude.
Safety, yeah.
Young dude, really, I mean, really, really a key part. And I think that this team has given him the keys to the defense, essentially. Like, I think that's why Tyrann Mathieu got to Kansas City was they said, we need this young cat not only to be a good player, but we need this young cat to lead the crew. So I would say Justin Reed. I hear a lot about Benardrick McKinney being a big leader on this football team. I don't know if it's a leader that can grab somebody by the nape of their neck and talk bad to them.
Because sometimes there's emotional leaders and guys who jump out. That was the thing that stuck out at me. Every time the Chiefs scored a touchdown, they pan on that sideline and guys are just sitting looking like, what the hell's happening to us? Instead of saying, somebody do something.
The exact audio, but this is how we're on the same page with this right here. The exact audio clip you just referenced about Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Literally, when I talked about this problem earlier in the season and I highlighted the leadership aspect and the absence of leadership during adversity. I think they got great leaders. It's the lack of leaders. It's the absence of leadership in adversity. That's the problem. But during that segment, B-Mac, I had him pull that Aikman deal, and I said, this is what I want to see. And I had to beep half of it out because he was giving it to Jack Riley, talking about the head coach.
What's going on around here?
Yeah, he goes over to the offensive line. What the hell are y'all doing? Nobody doing the job. We can't stay on sides. We can't. I mean, he was giving it to him. But that's how, just so you know, on that topic right there, you and I are seeing eye to eye to the point of, hell, I used that audio to make that exact statement about a month ago.
Yeah, I just – that was – that. Yeah, that has to – that to me starts in training camp.
Yeah.
That to me starts not just Sunday. That has to – come at some point past this. All right, coming up, that 5 o'clock fire.
Fire.
This is my first time. I'm so amped about this 5 o'clock fire, and we got fire. Do not turn. Right now, the biggest story, George Springer is back on a one-year deal, and I don't know what the hell's going on with this Jose
social media's blowing up, baby.
Altuve thing, but I feel like we got to talk about that 5 o'clock fire. I can't even talk right now. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.